Good evening, saints. Open up your Bibles, if you will, to Mark 4. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. We're going to start by reading through verses 1 through 9. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured it. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." We've approached one of my favorite times of year, besides Christmas. If you know me, I'm a big Christmas buff. In fact, I consider the beginning of October the beginning of the Christmas season. But I love fall. I love fall. I love the cool air coming in. And generally around the world, everybody knows that it's harvest time. If you're from an agricultural area, you know it's a time where the harvest is brought in and It's not just the bringing in the harvest that they're celebrating. They're reflecting on all the hard work that's been put in, but to bring this harvest about. Now, one of the fruits I love of harvest, one of the products that's brought to market that I truly love at this time, is that wonderful thing called candy corn. That's one of the best harvest products I know of, besides pumpkin spice lattes. Good harvest food right there. I'm sure many of you agree. But as we consider harvest, we have to consider the work that went into it to bring us to that point. And the Bible talks about one day that there will be a harvest. Well, the Lord will come back and there will be a harvest brought, reaped. But before that day of celebration, when the harvest is reaped, there's much work to be done, as was already said by Mike. There's much work to be done before that day. And so what I'm going to do today is look in this passage for encouragement. May not look at this passage and see it as one of encouragement, but oftentimes when I'm out there doing evangelists and Cruising Grand is finished from April to October, and somebody comes up and says, "How many people got saved during this evangelistic season at Cruising Grand?" I have no idea. "Yeah, how many of you have been saved in the last year or two?" I have no idea. And they say, "Well, don't you get discouraged by not knowing or anything like that about seeing people come in droves or converts?" I said, "No. No." And when I do, I try to reflect on this passage right here, the parable of the sower, the seed and the soils. We're going to look at this passage tonight. And what's wonderful about this passage is it's got its own commentary. This is one of those few spots, it's one of those few parables in the Scriptures where you don't have to try to search too hard for the meaning of it. You don't have to dig into the Scriptures in Old Testament and New Testament, and you don't have to go to too many commentaries to try to figure out exactly what Christ is saying. And a few verses later in this book right here, Jesus explains it bit by bit what the soils are. And in the other parallel gospel accounts, which we'll look at as well in reference, he does the same thing. Christ explains his parable because of the fact that it holds something very important. He told his disciples, "If you don't understand this, how are you going to understand all the other parables?" Because what Christ is getting ready to do is set forth a series of kingdom parables where he explains how the kingdom will grow. And this one is vitally important to understand how the kingdom grows upon this world. But before we look at the soils, we need to ask some stuff about the sower himself. It says very little about him. In fact, Christ doesn't go back and give much commentary on him, none go commentary in this passage right here. But the sower in this passage is a farmer. Now, it's likely that most of the people who he's talking to has seen a farmer at some point in time in this type of environment. And it may have been even Christ was using an example of someone who may have been in a field nearby or something as he's in a boat and he sees somebody up on the hillside out there sowing. And what he does is he takes and makes a parable of this occasion. A parable is an earthly story that comes to display a spiritual truth. And what he does is he takes this sower as the main character of his story here. There was a farmer would typically either carry a satchel or else have a donkey or a beast of burden, and he would be filled with seeds, and he would go out and he would cast his seed upon the ground and sow. That's what sowing is. So we're not talking about quilting bees or sewing fabrics or stuff like that here. When I was a kid and I heard people preach about the sower, I was always confused because I always pictured someone sowing. Sowing is someone who's throwing the seed, casting out the seed out so that it might bear fruit upon the ground. It's interesting to note that although Christ doesn't identify the sower at this point, later on he's going to give the parable of the wheat and the tares and mentions that the sower is the Son of God, the Son of Man. Now, besides the identity of the sower, we can know that the sower has intentions. This farmer has intentions. He's not going out there for no reason at all, just decided one day to go ahead and cast out seed everywhere. He has a reason for this. He has a purpose for this. And I hope it's our purpose too, because just as Christ is probably the main character, the first person we can identify as being the sower, those who represent him, i.e. church, you, are sowers as well. And so what his intention is in sowing the seed should be our intention as well. You see, this farmer has a great hope in doing this. He hopes that the soil or the seed will fall on good soil. His purpose is for this seed to get to good soil. He also has an ultimate desire to reap a harvest. He's wanting this seed to find good soil and to one day bear a harvest so that he might be able to accomplish his one goal of getting the seed into the ground and having a harvest. Now, one of the important things that we got to remember in this parable that some people become confused on is the order of plowing and sowing. In that time period, maybe some of you have actually had little gardens, and what you've done is you've plowed a row and put the seed in the ground and then buried it up. In that time period, what they did is they would sow first and plow later. So we come to understand that when you scratch your heads going, why would he throw seed on a path? Why would he throw seed on hard, rocky ground? Because it had not been plowed yet. What he would do is they would go out and throw the seed upon this ground, and then it would be plowed up. So the sower is not just randomly going out and throwing it anywhere. He's going out and throwing it out there with a purpose to find the good soil, and it will be plowed later. So having looked at the sower, let's ask a little bit about the seed. What is the seed? And the scripture tells us very plainly here, Jesus says that it's the word. It is the word which is being sowed by the sower. In fact, Luke goes further and says it's the word of God. Not just any word, it's the word of God. And then Matthew, in his commentary, his parallel version of this, says it is the word of the kingdom. So the seed that is being sown, that is being cast out to the soils, is the message of God. It's the message of the kingdom. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is proclaimed to all the soils that are out there. And it is only this seed, only this message, only this word, this message of the kingdom, that can produce the desired crops. Only this one. If you've got the message wrong, you're going to get the wrong results. It must be the true gospel of Jesus Christ to reap the harvest desired, to bring forth the proper fruit. Now, in order to have a harvest, though, you can't just use seed. You have to have soils. And so Christ spends most of his commentary talking about the soils. And we turn to those now. There are four soils in this passage. As the kingdom is being brought forth, the message of the kingdom, as it's breaking forth upon the earth, we see that the soils are the responses to this proclamation. They are the responses to this proclamation. The first one is along the path. Now, understand this path that the seed is cast upon is not the main road. Something packed down that the wagons would go down in the middle of the street or something. Paths were often developed by farmers or villagers walking back and forth through the field. And when it came harvest time, or when it came sowing time, they would throw the seed out upon the ground, upon the rocky path, and then the farmer would plow over it again, making it part of the field. So it was perfectly intended to be part of the field for harvest. He says here in Matthew 4:4, as we've read, "And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it." Very short passage. The birds came because it sat on top. The birds came and they devoured it. And Christ explains this further, what this is, what's going on here in this response to the gospel message. "And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them." And Luke actually comments on it and says, or Christ comments on it in Luke, he says, "so that they may not believe and be saved." These are those who'd had the word taken away from them by Satan, it says in Mark 4:15, as we've read. Their condition is one of being blinded by Satan. We read in 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, "And even if our gospel is veiled," Paul says, "it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the god of this world has blinded the eyes of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Now, while Satan contributes to their blindness, it is predicated upon their own hardness of heart. Jesus, in John 3, says, "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil." And Paul, again, in Romans, "because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." So these are the folks who the message comes to with the gospel. And oftentimes, when you're out there doing evangelism, whether it be on the streets, whether it be in the homes, these are those who immediately say, "You know what? No, thank you." In some way or another, rudely or pleasantly, they say, "No, it's okay, not for me." Okay? You've just thrown seed onto the hard path, and Satan has taken it away from them. They've blinded, their eyes have been blinded, their hardness of hearts has rejected it, and the gospel did not take root in them. The next one is the rocky ground. Mark again, "Other seeds fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away." And then Christ goes on to comment and explain this passage about the rocky ground. "And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulations or persecutions arise on account of the word, immediately they fall away." Now, this ground is not the rocky ground as far as you see these big chunks of rock sticking out of the ground. Palestine is known for limestone being directly underneath the surface of the soil. So as the sower goes out and he throws the seed upon the soil, he does not see the limestone right underneath because it hasn't been plowed yet. He's looking for good soil. He throws it out, and it happens to land upon rocky ground. And what happens is because this seed takes root and hits that limestone, it can't go any further. And it doesn't receive nourishment. So that when the sun comes up and scorches it, it doesn't have any moisture that it's drawing up from the ground. And what happens is because it has no root, it says, it withers away. It dies. It never bears fruit. And Christ explains this as persecution, as trials. And Luke, it says that this is the testing that goes on here. You may remember the Pilgrim's Progress, where you see things like this happen. You have a Christian crossing the Slough of Despond, and you have Pliable going across with him. And eventually he turns back because the Slough of Despond becomes something that's too hard for him to get across, and he turns back and goes the other way. Now, this is what happened. He was a rocky ground. The word did not take root in him. Throughout church history, we've seen this happen, where persecution has arisen against the church, and the church has been oftentimes winnowed down because those who were not truly of the faith, those who had rocky ground and the seed did not take root, have often turned away. What's interesting to note is when we see the good ground, the good soil later on, the good soil has the sun shine on it just as much as this rocky ground seed soil. The difference is one has root, one has nourishment, and can even though it's under the sunlight of persecution, of testings and trials, it still stands and it lives. In fact, it bears fruit because it is rooted in Christ Jesus. The next soil that he mentions is the thorny ground. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And Christ explains this. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Ultimately, these folks right here are false converts. Just like the false converts of the rocky ground, whereas they believed in, the rocky ground folks believed in a life enhancement gospel, that if they trusted in this gospel that they'd heard, it would make their life better and improved. And when persecutions came, they realized, I didn't want this, I'm going the other way. These folks are enticed by the world. They have had the word choked out by the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the pleasure of life. Remember when Jesus came to had an encounter with the rich man, and he told him, he said, sell all that you have and come follow me. And it says that he went away sorrowful because he had much riches. He was a rich man, and he loved that more than he loved Christ. And so the people who are the thorny ground, the response to the thorny ground is those who at first receive the word, but they love the world too much to hold on to it, and it chokes it out. Demas, a man who Paul called a fellow laborer with him in the gospel, one whose name was right beside Luke in greeting the church of Colossae. He later says, Demas was in love with this present world and has deserted me. Demas is an example of the one who was the thorny ground, who had the word choked out. And finally, after all that, we come to some good news. There is good soil out there. So far, we've experienced rejection out and out. We've experienced false converts. And then we come to this ground. Wonderful ground. The ground that we've been seeking so far. The ground that the farmer, the sower, has been desiring to seek and, or to find. And he finds it here. And he says, the other seed fell on the good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And Jesus explains this as those who were that were sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. These are those who accept the word, who bear fruit in various amounts and quantities. Matthew actually says they are the ones who understand the word. And Luke says that they hear the word and hold fast to it with honest and good hearts and bear fruit with patience. These are the true saints of Christ. They are those who by grace are good soil. They are the ones who receive the gospel and are not soft and not hard. They are the ones who had depth of root and received nourishment from Christ Jesus, from his Holy Spirit and from the word, that though they face the trials and temptations and testings and persecutions, they endure to the end. These are those who have fallen or not forsaken all for Christ and find him their greatest treasure of all. They are those who bear fruit through the Spirit in keeping with repentance that leads to sanctification and in its end, eternal life. And let's not go too far past the fact that this is the seed and the soil that bear 30, 60, and 100-fold. This, to their ears, to the hearers' ears, would have been something absurd. To our ears, if you're not a farmer like I'm not, you just pass over it. But maybe 5 to 15-fold is what you could get from a good crop. And what Christ was saying here is this is something incredible. This is something miraculous. This is something supernatural. This is something that only God can do. So the good soil has nothing to boast of. It is all the work of God in this. Now let me give you some quick encouragements from this passage. Something to take away. Remember we said that Jesus Christ is the prime sower. But those who are representatives of his, those who are ambassadors of Christ, you are also sowers, all of you. You are all farmers in this way. We tend to sometimes get discouraged when we don't see tons of people coming and knocking on the church door trying to get in here. When we're out there evangelizing and folks are just not coming in droves to repent and trust in Christ Jesus. When we're witnessing to that neighbor for years and years and they still have hardened hearts. Or that family member who you can tell is thorny ground. And you may be tempted to become discouraged. Well, folks, there is good ground out there. Christ says so. And we are to seek that ground and continue to seek that ground and continue to cast out that seed, hoping for good ground. There used to be this whole matrix for evangelism to discover whether or not you're doing evangelism correctly and if you're getting the correct results. And it was the one-fourth rule. Because there were four soils, one-fourth of those people that you proclaim the gospel to should come to Christ. But that's not what he was saying out there. That's not the point. The point is that there are those who are bad soils, and there are those whom God makes into good soils. And we are to continue to throw our seeds in hope of getting to those soils. Now, we are to be indiscriminate sowers, just like the sower in this passage. I want to encourage you not to look to try to see if is that a hard ground. If so, I'm not casting it there. Is that thorny? Is that person too much in love with the world that the gospel just will not do anything there? Be indiscriminate. Be indiscriminate. Just as this sower was when the ground was not plowed, he didn't know if there was hard rock underneath there. He didn't know that if it fell on the path that the birds were going to come down. His plan was to plow over that and to reap a harvest. He did everything in expectation and hope of reaping a harvest. You should do likewise. Indiscriminately cast out that seed to all ground. Only God knows. And then, take joy in being a sower. Take joy in being a sower. Oftentimes, we look and we want to just see people come to Christ, and we should. Again, as sowers, we should be casting out that seed for the purpose of seeing others come to Christ and for the harvest to be plentiful, as it says in Scripture it is. But we should also take joy in the wonder of being able to go out and proclaim Christ Jesus. What a privilege that we have to be able to tell the good news of Jesus Christ to those who are lost and those who are under a weight of condemnation. What a wonderful thing. And then soils. Interesting thing about them. I've met some who have been those soils who had rocky ground underneath them. And they were false converts. And for years they believed that they were true Christians, but their life never bore any fruit. And then I've seen something miraculous where God changed that soil to where it was good ground. And there was true fruit. There was true repentance. And there was true faith. So if you know someone that you've been witnessing to, you've been pleading to God for them to come to salvation, don't give up. Don't stop giving seed out. Continue to throw out the seed in hopes that God will make that soil good soil. And just remember, just keep sowing. Just keep sowing. The harvest will come one day, and it will be a great celebration. And we will give glory to God on that day for all that he has done. In Luke 10:2, Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful. I believe it. I believe it is plentiful because I believe that there is plenty of good soil out there. I look out here in this congregation, and the vast majority of you are good soil, bearing fruit to Christ Jesus, to his glory and his honor. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Oh, Lord of the harvest, we come to you, your laborers. Father, thank you for entrusting to us this ministry of reconciliation, this ministry of as sowers, to go to this field, the world here in our streets, the world of our friends and family, the field of Escondido, of San Diego County, the field of California and the field of the United States. You've allowed us to go into the field of the world and proclaim the good news of Christ Jesus to all the soils. Father, I pray, through your Spirit, you would change soils to make them good soils, so that the word might land upon an abundance of good soil and bear you fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, all to your glory. We praise you, we glorify you, we magnify you, and you alone are worthy of this task. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.